some 8 years ago now, it was my privilege to be in the land of Scotland, and I met an elderly gentleman who is now with the Lord. He was a contemporary with Dr. James A. Stewart,
Evangelist
Charles Maine. Everybody called him Uncle Charlie. He was quite a fellow. One night, after we had sung the song, Happy Day, Happy Day, when Jesus washed my sins away, Uncle Charlie got up to speak and rebuked us for singing about the day when it was night. And he said, how many of you were saved in the day? I think it was just two or three of us. He said, how many of you were saved at night? And the rest of us raised our hands. And then he gave his Scottish rendition of the song, Happy Night, Happy Night, when Jesus washed my black heart white. And he gave, of course, his Scottish accent with these words. He said, he taught me how to sing and shoot and be a Christian oot and oot. I want to use Uncle Charlie's words, oot and oot, to preach for a few minutes tonight on out and out Christianity. Going all the way with God, if you prefer. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of obedience. The Bible often talks about our obeying the Word of God. Not being hearers only, like the man who built his house upon the sand, but doers of the Word, having built our house upon the rock. In Exodus chapters 8, 9, and 10, we have Pharaoh's subtle objections to God's demands to let the Israelites go. These objections have sometimes been called Pharaoh's compromises. Pharaoh is such a suitable type of Satan in that he opposes God's plan.
Yes.
And opposes God's procedure. He opposes God's path and God's progression in the life of his people. And so I want us to look at Pharaoh's strategy and tactics and become aware of the wiles of the devil in his attempt to control God's people. Now, there are four confrontations or four objections, compromises if you prefer, that Pharaoh sets before Moses. Moses has already given him God's mandate. Let my people go. There have been three plagues or three judgments. They were impressive, but it seems as though they have not affected Pharaoh at this moment. But when God released the fourth plague, namely the flies in the land, Pharaoh began to respond. Look at verse 25 of Exodus chapter 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, that's what we're talking about, going all the way with God. Go ye, you can go now. But notice the condition, notice the objection. Sacrifice to your God in the land.
Yes.
Now the mandate was, let my people go. We have a demand for unconditional freedom. No strings attached. Pharaoh, in a subtle way, says, all right, you can go, but you have to stay in the land. That's when Moses responded in verse 26, it is not meet or becoming so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? Moses said, we're going all the way with God. We are going to be out and out followers of God's commands. I want you to notice firstly in that Pharaoh wanted him to stay in the land, that this out and out Christianity is out and out sanctification. We're not going to stay here in the land. We are going to separate ourselves. We are going to sanctify ourselves. Now, you understand, of course, that for the children of Israel to sacrifice to their God in the land would be nothing short of a mock deliverance. Redemption, deliverance, salvation demands that they leave Egypt. May I say tonight, the devil is still acting in this subtle fashion, trying to get people to line up with God, but stay in the land. And that is not salvation. That is not deliverance. That is a mock separation. The Bible says that God commands, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And touch not the unclean thing. God's mandate is one of deliverance unto holiness. And I say tonight, that out-and-out Christianity is out-and-out sanctification. We're going out all the way. There is going to be a deliverance. May I remind you, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a picture of you and me coming out of the dominion of our sins. Bible says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That doesn't sound like staying in the land of thee, does it, you? Galatians chapter 1 tells us that he gave himself to deliver us from this present world. This world is not my home. And if I go all the way with God, then I must get out of the Egyptian system. I must not be a part of worldly procedure and practice. So Moses said, we're going all the way with God. We are looking for a deliverance. May I say secondly, he is saying, we are looking for a difference. How can we stay in Egypt, he said, and sacrifice abominations before their eyes? Will they not stone us? Now keep in mind, there was no tabernacle in Egypt. There was no temple in Egypt. The law had not been given in Egypt. This people cannot worship God in Egypt. They're going to have to leave. And as they leave, there's going to be a difference between them and the Egyptians. Remember what happened? God so put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians as they went out of the land that not even a dog barked as they made their exodus. Now you think that's not a miracle? Huh? How many of you hear them bark in the middle of the night? I tell you, it'd be a miracle if the dogs didn't bark at night. Especially the nights you feel you need a lot of sleep. I promise you, they're going to do some barking. But this night of the children of Israel's Exodus, God put such a difference between His people and the Egyptian people that the dogs didn't even bark that night. I believe there is a distinction between the children of God and the children of this world. Somebody said, well, you have to live in this world, preacher. That's right. Jesus said that we were in the world. But He said, you've been chosen out of the world, and therefore ye are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. There is a difference between those who walk after the world and those who are going all the way with God. Out and out Christianity involves sanctification. Therefore, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, this thing of going all the way with God certainly will not let one keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. No, sir. We must move on, Moses said. We cannot do it. In fact, in verse 27, I'm going to read this to bring us into the second emphasis. He said, we will go 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. Well, Pharaoh gives a second subtle objection to this going all the way with God. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. And he said, while you're out there sacrificing, entreat for me. Say a little prayer for me. Have you ever heard that? I'm not going to be at the church. I'm not planning on coming to a revival. I'm not interested in the things of God. But since you're going, say a little prayer for me. Oh, that's the language of Pharaoh. That's the language of the devil. That's the language of compromise and objection to out-and-out Christianity. I want you to notice not only the sanctification of out-and-out Christianity. Moses said, we're going all the way with God. We can't stay in the land. But notice, secondly, the spirituality of out-and-out Christianity. Moses hears this objection of Pharaoh. You can go, all right, if you're stubborn, I'll let you go. But don't go very far. I enjoyed reading some of the words of John Ritchie today, who has some excellent writings, and I believe most of them are back in print now. But John Ritchie described this kind of Christianity, not going very far, as borderland Christianity. Borderland Christianity. Well, whoopee, you're saved. You're a Christian now. That's wonderful. Are you glad that that's settled? But don't go very far with it. Don't take things too far. Don't become a religious fanatic. It's one thing to know you're going to heaven. But don't be as ignorant as some of those people who have given their minds, their hearts, their bodies, their all to God. Don't do that. Don't go very far. And I say this is a masterpiece. of satanic strategy. There are times after God saved people that Satan will leave this kind of insinuation with them, and they'll get around other people who have not made very much progress with God, and the first thing you know, they'll think it's all right to live on the borders of complete obedience. And out and out Christianity says, no, it's not that I'm going just a little ways. I'm not going to go just a little ways out and keep as close to Egypt as I can. But I'm going 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey. Now, let me say two things, having mentioned this particular objection. I want you to notice, first of all, there is a growth in spirituality. There is more to growth in God than starting attending each service that the church has each week. Some folks think they're really taking giant steps. They're really making progress. They're really going with God because they come to Sunday school now. Well, I went to Sunday night service. What else do they want? It's not what they want. It's what God demands. God demands that you get as far away from Egypt as you can get. Go 3 days' journey. I read of a little girl who fell out of the bed in the middle of the night. And her mother came running and she said, "Honey, why did you fall out of the bed?" The little girl's crying and half asleep. And she looked up at her mother and said, "Well, Mommy, I suppose I fell out of the bed because I went to sleep too close to where I got in." I want to tell you why a lot of folks fall out of step and fall out of line spiritually. They look like they're going to go great guns for God. Boy, they come to the services and they carry the Bible and they just look better and dressing nicer and seems like they've got a smile now instead of a frown. And boy, you're just so tickled. They're going great guns for God. Then all of a sudden, they go. You can't find them anywhere. You try, if you do see them, they avoid you. You ever notice these people? We have a good habit in our part of the country here of waving at everybody, you know. You ever notice some people, when you start to wave at them, instead of them waving back, they're looking at you in the field somewhere. Or you get out of step with God, you don't want to even look at somebody that's trying to go on with God. Why do they get out? And you say, "Well, why don't you come on back?" "Well, preacher, I don't know. I don't know really why. I want you to know I don't have a thing against you. I think you're a great preacher. And I really like the church. You know, y'all really got something going over there. And all the people are friendly and nice and kind. But, preacher, I don't know. Maybe I can tell you a little later. It's just one of those things. I'll tell you what it is. You went to sleep too close to where you got in." Oh, dear friend, move on in with God. Make some spiritual advancement. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't want to just be an echo of everybody else's spirituality. Do you? I don't want to just be a sounding board for everybody else's opinions. I want to move away from Egypt and make some progress spiritually in my own life. There is growth in this spirituality. May I say further that there are grounds in this spirituality. You know what they are? Resurrection grounds. Yes. How many days did he say we're going out in the wilderness? Not one day. Not 2 days. 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey. Everybody knows the number three in the Bible carries with it the meaning of resurrection. It was on the third day of creation when the earth stuck its head up above the waters. It was as though the earth had been submerged and it was resurrected on the third day. And of course, the primary message of the third day comes in that our Lord came out of the grave on the third day. He shook loose from the shackles of death and of hell. And I say to you, brother, if you can get out on resurrection ground, you can shake loose from some of the fetters of this world. And you can get free from some of the bands that the system will put on us. No, it won't be you setting yourself free, but on resurrection ground, the life of our risen Lord enables you to become what God demands you to be in Christ. I say, Moses is a picture of one who says, I'm going all the way with God. And we see the sanctification of such an out-and-out Christian. We see the spirituality of this out-and-out Christianity. 3 days! 3 days! You ever hear this? Well, I tell you, the Bible's just dead to me when I read it. And the services, they've been awful dead lately. The Sunday school class, I wish our class had some life like that other class down the hall. Did you notice they came out of their class the other day crying? Well, I yawned through mine. I wish we could get some life. Hey, why don't you take the first step and put Egypt out of your rear vision and move on to resurrection ground with God? Paul, in his old age, stressed the importance of the power of the resurrected Christ in his life. That I may know Him, he said, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I say, we need this kind of development and maturity that'll get away from the borders of this world. Let me put this in. I'll move on after this. This comes to my heart. I've not preached in John's first epistle in quite a while, a series of messages, but it's been bubbling in me of late, and I'm sure that it's in the making. But y'all will forgive me for a little injection here tonight, or an insert. John said in his entire epistle, this is the Hayes translation. In the gospel, John said there's room at the cross. In the gospel. There's room at the cross. Come one, come all. There's room at the cross. But in the epistle, you know what John's writing about in the epistle? He's writing about intimacy with Christ. And he says in the epistle, hey, if you've been to the cross, I found another large place. There's room on His bosom. Come up close. Get up here on His bosom. Well, John ought to be able to know, he ought to be able to tell us something about that, because that's where He lives. On the bosom of the Lord Jesus. You can hear things up there that you can't hear other places. You can say things up there that you can't say in other situations. And John says, I want you to come up here and have fellowship with us. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this, for years, this thought has been in my heart. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe it'll come before long. But it seems to me that John is saying in his epistle, don't see how far you can live away from God and get by with it. Rather, see how close you can live to God and still stand it. Huh? Oh, may God help us to leave the Egyptian environments. May God help us to quit camping out on the borders. and to get out on resurrection ground. I want you to turn to chapter 10 with me. Here we have the third subtle objection or compromise that Pharaoh brought up to Moses' obedience to God's mandate. In verse number 10 of chapter 10, Pharaoh said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so." He talks like he's going to do something. Then he says, "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And then he drove them out of his presence. Here is the third objection. The mandate was, "Let my people go." Not one is excluded from that mandate. God said, "Let my people go, every one of them." Now Pharaoh says, "All right, you can go." He said, "You're not going to take your little ones with you. You're not going to take your sons and your daughters with you. No way." May I say, there is a subtle strategy of Satan, and it seems like it is gaining force in our generation.
Yes, brother.
It says, "All right, you folks who are older, go ahead and serve God.
Yes.
But don't get your children involved.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't make them go to church. Turn them loose and let them do what they want to. Let them make up their own mind."
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if your house was on fire, would you go to your child's room and say, "I believe I'm going to let him make up his own mind"? You'd do everything in your power to get him out of that room.
Yeah.
I want to say, when it comes to spiritual matters,
yeah,
may God grant us the spiritual fortitude and determination that we are not going to give our children to the world and the devil. And I'm not of the persuasion that my children have to be replicas of me. God forbid. I've not encouraged my girls to marry preachers. I've not tried to call them to the mission field. I believe that's God's ordained work. But I have determined by the grace of God, the devil may get my girls. The devil may claim, he may seize my daughters, but he'll not do it without a fight. He'll not do it without a conflict. He'll not do it without a battle. This is a picture of wholehearted service unto God. So we not only learn of the sanctification of out-and-out Christianity. I'm not going to stay in the land. I'm leaving. We not only learn of the spirituality of out-and-out Christianity. I'm not going to stay close. I'm going 3 days' journey into the wilderness on the resurrection ground. Now we learn of the service. The service of out-and-out Christianity. Moses said, as God anointed him and instructed him, he said, "Judgment is on the way." And the eighth plague was unleashed as the locust began to devour the land. I'm saying God does not play with half-hearted service. Moses said, "It's either all of us, all the way, or it's nothing at all." God grant a thoroughness in our service in this day. Now, this thing of coming to church and having meetings, teaching classes and singing songs and preaching sermons can become routine. We find ourselves at points with flippant heart attitudes. half-hearted spirits towards the service of God. Well, whatever will happen anyhow, so we'll just hope everything turns out all right. Moses said, we're all going, Mr. Pharaoh. We're all going. There was a thoroughness in his service. May I say, this might not just refer to our little ones in our own individual family. It may involve the little ones in the church. Those who have not been converted very long. They have not matured. They have not developed. May God help us as a local church not to be satisfied for the old sheep to grow up and to make it through life, but may God give us a heart for the little ones as well. And I said, all they want to do is hoop and holler. Well, you help them hoop and holler and encourage them on with God. So I said, well, they don't even know what the Bible says. Well, why don't you help them learn what the Bible says? Somebody said, oh, they never have had a church background. Well, why don't you so instruct them that their young ones will have a church background? I'm saying that God, His mandate is that all of us be out and out Christians for His name. Thoroughness, all of us. Watch this. Togetherness. Moses said every one of us are going. Togetherness. Togetherness. I love to see a family in the house of God together. Do you? I love to see God's people with the spirit of togetherness. I've been around plenty of the other, believe me. Would you like me to describe some of its traits and trademarks? That spirit of divisiveness. That spirit of competition. That spirit of rivalry. Yes. Says, well, I'll tell you one thing. I know what's happening. They're letting her testify and they're letting him pray. It won't be long till they'll be the main members of the church. Well, wouldn't that be awful? If God brought in new blood and increased the church's appetite for spiritual development, wouldn't that be awful? I want to tell you, that's a blessing. If God brings in new blood and they have an appetite for holiness, they want to move on with God. No, sometimes we're not too excited about that. We've had it going a certain way so long that we're not about to change now. In fact, I tell you, we've almost got to the place, if somebody wants to testify, it's almost out of order. We already had it planned to go another way. We have no liberty. We have no freedom in God to let folks enjoy the expression of testimony and praise. God deliver us. God save us from routinism. God give us hearts for one another. God revive our love for the people of God. Those that think they know it all and those that think they know nothing. God put us together and give us an appetite to go all the way with God. Out and out Christianity. It has a thoroughness in its service. It has a togetherness in its service. Would you notice that last subtle objection Pharaoh throws at Moses and the people? Again in chapter 10, we come now to verse number 24. The ninth plague of darkness has come over the land. It was such a darkness, the Bible says they could feel it. And Pharaoh begins to try to compromise a little bit. So he called unto Moses and said, go ye. That's what you wanted, wasn't it? You wanted to go? All right, go ye. Serve the Lord. Every one of you go. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Pharaoh said, wasn't that what you wanted? You said, let my people go. All right, go. Get out of here. Take your young ones with you. That's the way you got to have it. Go all the way. Get out of here. But he said, you can't take your herds and your flocks. Moses said, no deal. He said, we're going all the way with God. He said, how are we going to sacrifice to God if you keep our flocks and our herds? Here we have the sacrifice of out and out Christianity. Moses realizes the duty of sacrifice. How can Moses and the people take this deliverance from God and then not sacrifice unto Him for His kindness? Reminds me of David. Remember what he said down at Ornan's threshing floor? Ornan said, here, David, you just take all of it. Just take care of all these instruments. I'll give you everything. David said, not so. He said, I'm going to pay you. He said, no, I don't want you to pay you. I want you to just take it. I don't want you paying me. David said, do you think I'm going to offer unto God that cost me nothing? He said, then it wouldn't be a sacrifice of mine. It would be a sacrifice of yours. Oh, I say out and out Christianity is not a Christianity that just floats along and makes sure that the road is smooth and there's no extra duties involved in the journey. Oh, no, brother. Out and out Christianity, a Christianity that says, I'm going all the way with God, this complete obedience type of lifestyle, is willing to make the sacrifices as well as going through the routine. Moses said, no, we're taking our flocks and our herds with us, Mr. Pharaoh, because we understand the duties of sacrifice. I believe he's saying as well, we understand the discipline of sacrifice. We will give ourselves. We will yield our lives to any area God puts His finger on.
Amen.
And we're taking everything we have. I don't know. I likened that a moment ago to our family life. Maybe this could be a picture of our business life. Some folks want to give their heart to God, but they don't want to give their business and their pocketbook to God. Some people want to give their soul to God, but then they want to keep their job away from the church. Well, I don't want to bring my job into the church. I'm sorry, friend. God's mandate is that not only you leave Egypt and your children leave Egypt, but you better get your herds and your cattle out of Egypt as well. In fact, Moses said, I love the way he puts this in verse 26, there shall not an hoof be left behind. He said, we're not holding out on God, Mr. Pharaoh. We're going all the way with God. Out and out Christians. The sacrifice. The yieldedness. The willingness. This is the kind of Christianity that doesn't say when asked to teach a class, oh, I'm not, I got too many things on me, I can't teach. No, it makes a sacrifice anyhow.
Yes, brother.
This is the kind of Christianity, when called upon to perform a duty in the church, does not shirk it and run from it and say, and hide behind this, well, I'm not as qualified as other people. There are other people that are able to do it better than me. No, out and out Christianity goes ahead and makes the sacrifice of one's ignorance.
Yes,
and pride. Not one hoof will be left behind. God wants our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, our all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Amen.
With all thy soul, with all thy mind. Out and out Christianity.
Amen.
I thought of the old man Joshua. Not a young man Joshua, but the old graybeard Joshua. Who said in his old day, in his last days, his old age, he looked at the nation Israel, who had a reputation for their rebellion, and he said to them, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're not even going to have to vote on it. We will serve the Lord. He was just hours from his death, from his homegoing, from his promotion. And this old graybeard stands up without hesitancy, without reluctance. He knows where God's brought him from. He knows God's been faithful. He knows God is worthy of all. And he says, out and out! As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, that the Holy Ghost might grant us this kind of testimony in the face of a Pharaoh like the devil, who does everything in his power to keep us from going all the way with God. Would you stand with me?